Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, this morning we will worship you forever. Lord, and ever and ever and ever, we are your children. We have a covenant with you. You have made us more than conquerors. We belong to you. And Jesus, most of all, you are our hope. And we can praise you forever for that. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good praise offering. Amen. Thank you. You may take your seats. Thank you to the band for that beautiful, wonderful song. Just a correction. And it was brought to my attention, 9:30 tomorrow evening is prayer meeting, 10:30 the service starts. Okay, so for those of you, the faithful ones that are here this morning, you can say hallelujah, because God has got a message for you from his throne, hot out of the oven today. And it is so wonderful to stand here and be confident that God is going to speak to you. Amen. Ach, what? God is going to speak to you today. I want to get straight into the message. This is the last Sunday morning of this year. And for many of you, it probably was not too good a year. You've had your moments. You wondered at some point, am I going to make it? Well, I've got good news for you. You are still here today. God is not finished with you. Hallelujah. You have hope and you have a future. Praise God. I want to talk to you on the topic of thus far. Thus far. Now, I must be very honest with you. At this moment, I would really like to just walk down this road and see where it takes me. Thank you, Elise, for a wonderful graphic. The topic this morning is thus far. And I will go straight to 1 Samuel chapter number 7 and verse 12. And that is the text for today. If you have your Bibles, open it at 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And that is where we're going to spend most of this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And it reads as follows. There we go. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer. The name Ebenezer means stone of help. Write it in your Bibles, because this is going to change your life. A stone of help he erected between Mizpah and Shen. And he said the following, thus far the Lord has helped us. My brother and sister, I want to bring you a message this morning that it is the end of 2018, and thus far, the Lord has helped us. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how difficult your year was, no matter your fears of the future, I want to bring you a good word that says, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And we're going to erect a stone in this place today. My Ebenezer, we're going to lift him up in this place. Joshua 1 verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, everybody in this place, arise, go over this barrier, this psychological thing called a new year, into this, or rather over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. I am sure that as they stood in front of that river and they had to cross, they had all kinds of emotions running through their minds. They had all kinds of fears. How are we going to get across? What are we going to do? What are we going to find? And I'm reminded of Amazing Grace, the third verse, that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that have brought me safe thus far, thus far, thus far. And grace will lead me on. His grace was sufficient to this point, and his grace will be sufficient for the days to come. Hallelujah. My God is a faithful God. He says, arise and go into this new year. Arise and go into the unfamiliar. Arise and go into this uncharted territory. This thing called 2019. I don't know how many of you are psychics and clairvoyants in this place. I hope none, otherwise we're going to drive out demons. None of us know what the future holds. But I've often said, my God holds my future. And therefore, I am secure in Him, whatever comes my way. I'm excited this morning. Exodus 13, verse 17 to 22, we read of God's cloud of protection by day and the pillar of fire by night. I want to tell you, you're going to have a cloud of protection over you in 2019, and you're going to have a pillar of fire watching over you at night. Hallelujah. Exodus 33, 15, we can confidently say with Moses, unless the Lord goes with us into this new year, we cannot go into this new year. I tell you, I am afraid in the natural of what is ahead of us, because the Bible says it's going to get tougher, but with my God, it's going to get better. Hallelujah. So some of you, I heard Pastor George say, how many of you are back from holiday? And apparently some of you raised your hands. Shame. It's over. You're a little bit poorer and it's gone. No, seriously, I'm just jealous. Some of us at this time of the year, we find ourselves bone tired. In other words, dead tired. We feel exhausted and the new year hasn't even started. I was looking at the month of January on our calendar, and I tell you, I'm tired already, because it's all kinds of things that's going to happen. Now, that's not negative. It is good. We need to start. But if you're tired, you're tired. And if there's anybody tired in this place, don't raise your hand. Many people did not have a break of some kind during this period, and you're exhausted already. There might even those that fear the year ahead. You might have to go for some medical test. Your bank balance doesn't look this good, or whatever else. There are many reasons why people are afraid of that which is to come. You're not alone. There's a mighty man of God amongst others, the Davids and the Pauls and the Jonas. There is a man, Elijah, that found himself in a place where he was burnt out. He was tired. He did not know how to go on. As a matter of fact, he was so depressed that he said, Lord, kill me. We read about that in 1 Kings. Where is it? 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse 4. He says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. I just want to tell you, some of you in this place reached a point in 2018 where you said, it's enough. I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to go on. You're not alone. Those that are fortunate not to have reached such a place in your life, you can praise the Lord forever. But there are people that have burnt out, that are tired, that are exhausted, that even reach the point of hopelessness. So he said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life. Sure. I'm no better than my fathers. There are people that have gone through the proverbial hell this year. You're not alone. This awesome, great man of God, that about 850 priests were killed recently. He ran, I must give you this. He ran 153 kilometers. That's like to Pretoria and back. He ran from here to Pretoria and back. That's how far. And then no wonder he was tired. He sat under that bush. Why did he run? I want to tell you, he lost perspective. He lost sight of who God is for him. He had no reason to fear. He was absolutely undefeated up until this point. It means that no matter how strong we are, we can reach a point where we're human and we say, God, this is too much for me. Thank you. We're not superhuman. Though the righteous fall countless times, he will rise again. He was forgetful of his past, depressed in his present, and hopeless for his future. What happened to this man? He lost perspective. He should have remembered the words of Samuel that we just read. Thus far the Lord has been with me. He will now not leave me. No matter what happens, my brother and sister, in the year to come, remember that he has led you thus far and is going to lead you home. But he did not remember the words of Samuel, obviously. James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man just like us. A man just like us. We read about the amazing things that he accomplished. Yet, he reached a point of utter, desperate hopelessness. We do not have guarantees that we will not reach such a place. And just let me tell you one thing, if you've never been depressed ever in your life, you have to really, really praise the Lord God forever, because depression is a very real and a difficult thing. But it is not an unconquerable thing, because God is for us, never against us. So David understood how to encourage himself. I was reminded about the topic of Pastor George last Sunday when he spoke about a good God. Our God is a good God. Taste and see that he is a good God. Bring this good God into your bad situation. I listened, you see. I'm also reminded about the fact that God gave me a message that there is good news. You do not have to fear the future, because God is in your future. I'm reminded of Pastor Harold's Christmas morning service, the punchline. Let our weaknesses hold on to his strength. Hallelujah. Oh, that's enough reason to shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. He had a very bad situation. The Amalekites destroyed Ziklag, took away the wives and the children. The people spoke of stoning him. And there in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it's not on the board, we read that David did something. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? You do not look at your circumstances, you look to God. Like Peter, when he walked on the water, looked to Jesus. He did not walk on the water, he walked on a word, come. If you have a word for the new year, which I hope you'll have after the 15 minutes left. How did he encourage himself? He spoke like in Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help, my countenance and my God. Speak to yourself, brother and sister. Speak to your soul. He lost perspective. We're at the end of 2018, the beginning of 2019. It'll be good for us to do some introspection. That's what I'm going to try and do in the next few minutes. Pastor Harold has started a series on the return of the glory. Whether you're a visitor or not, please just do yourself a favor and come to the series that he is going to present on the return of the glory. What I saw in the spirit when God gave me this message caused me to sit upright and say, God, you're busy with something. Not knowing really where, well, obviously 1 Samuel 7 is after 1 Samuel 4. But I did not know how this message of this morning is actually going to tie in with what he spoke about when Eli, this pathetic person, sorry if you're listening, Eli, but Hophni and Phinehas, the sons, were just useless. They died, and Phinehas' wife gave birth, and she called the son Ichabod just before she died. The glory has departed. I want to tell you, my brother and sister, it is a terrible thing if the glory departs. And we need to watch out that we do not get so accustomed to the presence of God that we just take it for granted. We need to find the glory of God in 2018. I tell you now, in South Africa, in the world, we are going to need it. He will resume this series shortly. If ever you felt that your prayers are not hitting heaven, but this copper dome above you, the brazen heavens, and your prayers feel as if they just go to the ceiling and drop to the ground, I want to encourage you this morning, God hears. God hears. You might not feel as if he hears, but he hears. His ears are open to your cry in this place even today. So in the last few minutes, the first book of Samuel, the history and the background, we read that this book covers about a 500-year period of time. Samuel lived for 100 years of that time. We find him in the beginning of the book as he is born. Now, I wish I had time to really relate to you the story of me, Samuel Tiernes Blom. Samuel in the Bible, which means Samuel means God heard. And his mom, Hannah, how she prayed. Do you know why she called out for somebody that she could dedicate to the work of the Lord? Because of the idolatry and the state of the world around her. There was a day that my mother, Hanali, which is from Hannah, called to the Lord. And I'm not saying I'm a Samuel, but I want to tell you it's very close to my heart because she dedicated me before my birth, like Hannah dedicated Samuel. And I never intended as a young boy to serve the Lord all the days of my life. But you see, there was a Hannah that prayed, and that Hannah's prayer was heard. And here stands somebody today that I've got no choice but to live my life for the Lord. I praise God for the Hannahs that are praying, men and women of God, into this world. Wow. Idolatry. Idolatry was at the order of the day. I'm not easily promoting books and stuff, but the book, The Paradigm of Jonathan Cahn, will open your eyes to what is really going on around us in this world. If you've never read it, get it. This world is so caught up in idolatry that we don't even know it. Where are the Samuels of this day? We see here that the Philistines caused much suffering over the people of God for a period of about 40 years. The Philistines sowed havoc among the children of God. These days we don't have the kind of wars that we had in the past. 34,000 Israelis died at the hands of the Philistines. Do you know how much 34,000 is? I've never been really to Ellis Park because I'm not a sports person, but I Googled and I saw the seats. It takes 62,000 people. It is more than half of Ellis Park Stadium that the Philistines took out. Men that never went back to their wives again and to their families and their children. These days it's different. The Philistines are still out there. They are killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They are walking dead. We cannot see the destruction as it was in the past. It's a spiritual thing. But I want to tell you, it is time for Samuels to raise up, to say, here's my Ebenezer, my rock of help. Thus far the Lord has helped me. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to shake the nation of South Africa in 2018. Sorry for shouting at you. I'm the one that says, did Jesus ever shout? But I'm excited now. Why did they fail to see that God would protect them? Because they asked God to help them war against the enemy while they were warring against God. All of these things we say to God. God, why did you allow this and how could you do that and whatever? Watch out that we don't war against God. Watch out that we're not caught up in idolatry and then shouting out, God, help me. Let us deal with the idols in our lives. You see, deception is a horrible thing. Once you're deceived, I've seen people on their knees, one man in front of Pastor Harold with tears running down his eyes, on his knees saying, can't you see? He could not see because the light in him became darkness. And how great was that darkness? That is in Matthew 6, verse 23. You don't have to turn there, but there it is for you. We need a revival as never before, my brother and sister. I'm just going to go back one scripture for you, Rainier, at the back, and I appreciate you. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandments of men. We need to watch out that we walk in the real fear of God. I want to counsel you, if you've ever prayed for anything, pray for the discerning of spirits as never before. Pray that your spiritual eyes be opened. Pray for the fear of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 10 tells you about the discerning of spirits. What kills hope? Deception, bad decisions, bad choices, bad resolutions. Lack of discerning, anxiety, fear, and self-righteousness in your self-satisfaction. These things kill. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about 2019, for 2019 will worry about itself as long as you walk with the Lord. Listen to this statement. One of the main problems with the Israelites, why the ark was taken captive, was because they looked to the ark of God more than to the God of the ark. Watch out that you do not look to anything else, whether it's a man of God, a woman of God, a church, a structure, a system, nothing more than God Himself. He's a jealous God. Make Him the captain of your warfare, my brother and sister. Put Him as the chief of your battles, and you will come out the other side victoriously. Oh, let Him fight for you. Exodus 14, verse 13. Moses again. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, my dear brother and sister here in this place. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. Did anybody hear the word today? The Egyptians you see today, those enemies of yours, those demons that have been hunting you, today is the day. The Egyptians you see today, you will see never again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Oh, wow. Henrietta Mears, in her book, What the Bible is All About, says, the ark of God was a very poor substitute for the God of the ark. Nothing can be a substitute for God. This religious spirit thing that says, oh, look how wonderful I am. Kill it. Kill it. There is only one that deserves the glory. He is the chief of our army, Jesus Christ, the commander. Hallelujah. Paul had it right. In Romans 7 verse 18 when he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. We cannot boast in ourselves. I wish I can stop time. It's all by grace. It's all by grace, amazing grace that has brought us safe thus far. And it's about faith for the future. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Are we, brothers and sisters, ready for revival? Yes, we are. Look around you. Look at the signs of the times. Look at the droughts. Look at the financial situation. Look at the political atmosphere. Look at the economy. Look around you, and you will see there is actually no other way than with God into 2019. Israel teaches us some very, very important lessons. The Ark of the Covenant was taken at Ebenezer. It went on for 7 months, and from place to place that it traveled, it caused havoc. You see, the world does not know what to do with the glory of God, but the church should know what to do with the glory of God. Once I preached a message here about revival, and I said from this platform, I wonder how many will take this message and believe it. And as I said it, God said to me, my people are not hungry enough. I challenge you today, get hungry for revival, because surely God wants to give us a revival. Israel was ready for revival. 1 Samuel 7 verse 1. Now they took the ark and they brought it back, and they consecrated Eleazar, his son to keep the ark. Verse 2, it's not in your notes, you can follow in your Bible. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. That word lament is like excessive grief. And it's a place where you say, my God. I think we have life too easy, I'm sorry. We need our eyes opened. We need the light to shine and to see. There is a revival on a golden plate for us. Take it. Take it. This is why the message Pastor Harold is about to preach is one not to be missed. Because if you get it, this nation will be shaken. The shaking that we've been crying out for a long time. Revival. Lament. Understand your need for a Savior. God can only help those who really understand their need for a Savior. Quickly, 1 Samuel 7 verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel saying, if you return to the Lord, number one, with number two, all of your heart. Then number three, put away the foreign gods and all the Ashtoreths among you. Then prepare your hearts for the Lord. Tomorrow night when you sit in this place, do one favor for yourself. Prepare your hearts for the Lord. Then serve Him only. Then He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Stuff here I cannot bring in. But listen to this. The very spot that the ark was taken from the children of Israel was the very spot that it was returned to. Here is a word from the Lord for you. In the area of your greatest defeat in this year, if you will repent, if you will turn to the Lord, if you will call out to Him as your only God, your only Savior, the area, listen to me, of your greatest defeat this year will become the area of your greatest victory for the year to come. Hallelujah! You got it, my sister. Oh, praise God. Open our eyes to understand, Lord. Certain spots in our life experience where we have been defeated will become the areas of victory. And you will raise up your Ebenezer and say, my rock of help is still with me. He has brought me deliverance. The good news is that we can see, as I come to a close, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, called its name Ebenezer, which is stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. I want to say to you today that your future is safe in the hands of God. 1 Samuel 7, verse 13. This is the result of a repentant heart, a heart that understands its need for God. So the Philistines were subdued. They did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. Your victory will be so great. Those demons that were haunting you, chasing you, pestering you, if you repent and you have your personal revival, those demons, those Philistines will not come into your territory anymore. Because your rock will be there. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. God often allows nations, even individuals, to be brought to their lowest place. 50,070, that's nearly a whole Ellis Park, was wiped out by the Israelites. The Philistines were nearly exterminated. Your victory will be spectacular if you allow the glory to come back into your life, raising up a stone by faith, saying, thus far the Lord has helped me and he will help me to come back. While I was praying, God gave me a word. He said, the year to come, parents, listen, the year to come will be a year where the Jonas that are fleeing my presence, says the Lord, will have no choice but to surrender and come back to me. I wonder how many heard what I just said. The Jonas will have no alternative than to return to the Lord. Those fleeing the call of God, those backslidden, those running away, will come running to God in 2019. Watch my words, God said. I close. There's a beautiful little song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. But there's another song that the shepherds in the Alps used to sing in the old days, watching over their flocks. At night, when they're about to gather the flocks and bring them together, they sang in the mountains a song to each other. Every evening they closed the evening like this. Thus far the Lord has helped us. And that's how they said good night to each other until the next morning. Let us sing at the end of 2018 a song to each other. Thus far the Lord has helped us. He will help us in 2019. Stand and give the Lord praise. Thank you, Father. Oh, praise God. That's right. Give him a good praise. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I bless your precious, precious children. Let this word sink deep into their hearts. Let them take it by faith. Thus far, you have helped us, and you will help us in our future. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and just the goodness of God be with you today and for all the days of your life, in particular 2019. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.